Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God for another exciting day. Thank God this is a day that He has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, because He is our God and He cannot fail. He has given us His word, and it shall accomplish what He sent it to do. Amen. Amen. Giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. Giving honor to pastors and Pastors Gerald and Sheila. Happy anniversary. And all the different friends that are contacting me from way down. I'm going to Jamaica one day. I'm looking forward to meeting with y'all. And all the different friends and saints that listen and all the different, it's just such a blessing to be able to minister the word of God to people at this particular time. Amen. Let us go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you. We do give you glory and honor and praise and thanksgiving for the wondrous things that you do. We thank you for the love that you show us. Father God, we're asking right now that you would continue to bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and give us a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will know and better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power you've made available for those of us that submit and obey you. Father God, we're asking that you are blessed and lift up the bereaved among us, because there truly there have been many who have suffered loss of relatives and friends in transition. It is a trying time. Father God, I ask that you would strengthen them with might in the inner man during these challenging times, because in the end, those that are of us that are in Christ will be reunited. And I believe it'll be sooner than we can imagine. So, Father God, I ask you, you continue to bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and courage to carry it out so that we can be fruitful in every good work that is pleasing to you. And bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. And we thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to another session of Training Day. Amen. For the new people. And I just met some people. And I just thank God. It's amazing when you meet a brand new. I met two brand new 60-plus-year-old Christians. That's amazing. That understand, the mercy of God is you deserve judgment, but he foregoes it. The grace of God is you don't have the capability, but he empowers you to get it done. Amen. This is why one of the things that I'm getting ready to move to another era, and that is because of questions that I've received. And I think it's important, and particularly right now, what is going on in the world, it ain't on God's end, the shortcomings, the malfunctions, the problems, the issues. He has the solution. But he is requiring, his expectation is that those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus, it doesn't matter. This is a reality you have to come to. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now you're responsible to grow. That doesn't matter if you pick a church because it was your family's church, but yet they're not providing you with the skill set spiritually that you need to conduct spiritual warfare and be successful. You can't hold that on God, because you don't want to put yourself in jeopardy. I've been sharing two things. One, God, there's a two-party issue going on. There's God and there's the devil. John 10:10, Jesus said, I come that you might have life. He said, the thief has come to steal, rob, kill, destroy. But Jesus comes that you might have life, and that more abundantly. And the reason people go with ain't a malfunction on God end, we have to accept the reality. One, the Bible is the qualified, established word of God. I mean, it's been challenged in more ways than it's really amazing. No other religion, no other belief system have gone through the challenges that the Bible. People don't take the Quran and spend $300 million trying to prove it's wrong. The Bible, you know, this is an interesting fact, and I got this from a Middle Eastern brother that have, you know, come across into the fullness of the gospel. And I didn't know that in the Quran, he said, Jesus is mentioned more in the Quran than any other person, and yet you got people that don't believe him. But you know what comes? This is the issue. Their change come when you stop and ask God for direction. He will give it to you. I know this from experience. That's how I got into this. I asked. Now, I don't know why it takes time sometimes. May mostly because we don't listen or we don't believe. But, you know, when you don't know and you've had so many bad examples, it's kind of hard to believe. That's the biggest challenge people have. So we've been talking about it. And like I say, the training day format, everything is about this life, okay, this life is teaching you about the life that is to come. And because everybody, this is your first time here, you don't know what it's like to be a man or a woman, which is a physical, spiritual creature that God created to introduce us to this life. And we got here, a lot of us, we got here, God laid down specifics, okay? We, of our generation, the last, I don't know, since they've been making the Bible a personal item, there should have been some change. What happened in the 70s? It was a spiritual outbreak of valuing the word for what it is, unlike any other time prior to that. Hitler could not succeed right now because of the way we value the word and understand the power of prayer. See, we far beyond the ritualistic aspect. Well, some of us are far beyond just the plain ritualistic rehearsing of prayer. But the point of that is to be able to pray. Cause that is what is going to be a primary subject today, is to be able to access the power of God for your benefit or the benefit of others. That's a powerful position to be in. Because you see incidents in the Bible that are just astounding, that are caused by men. One in particular is Elijah. Elijah prayed, and it did not rain in Israel, where he was, for 3 years. Imagine that. I think that was a bit over the top, but still, it was a drought for 3 years, and then when he called it, it came back. Now, the Bible, that's why the Bible reminds us that Elijah was a man with like passions as we are, meaning Elijah didn't have something super about him that made him more or gave him more access to God than we have. It's the simple fact of focus, letting God be a greater part of your life. And prayer and worship, and in our case, reading the word and communicating with God about it is how where God determines our maturity, and as a result, he gives us more revelation. See, it doesn't come by osmosis. You can't lay the Bible on your head and just suck what's in there. You have to read it, then sit and ponder it, communicate with God. Never read the Bible without praying first. You don't have to pray for a half hour. Just simply make your request known. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I praise you as you bless me with the revelation today of your word. See, this is your daily bread. This is the bread that you eat, okay? And the reason is because God wants your mind to be like his mind. Jesus said he only said what the Father say. His thoughts, the Holy Ghost thoughts, and God's thoughts are always identical. no deviation whatsoever. And it's challenging because we don't, we have been, Satan slipped up in there and told us that was being religious. But in there, in reality, listen, when Jesus come back, there won't be diversity. It will just be his way or no way at all. The only diversity will be the complexions that we have. But we will have to, those that make it into the millennial kingdom will think one way, God's way. All this division will end. That comes to an end. See, the world ain't coming to an end. What's wrong with the world is coming to an end. So, like I say, this stems from John, 1 John, 1 John 3:2, where he, John says, and it's amazing when I, like I say, getting a little technical difficulties. John, you know, I like John. John got it. John focused on love. He called himself the servant that Jesus loved. Now, I was told that that created a bit of a animosity with the rest of the disciples. But think about that. When you're talking about the love of God, you really, the recipient of the love, it really ain't, don't qualify for it. That tells you, see, when the Bible tells you to love your neighbor, that's not talking about just the part, the day that everything go right. It's the days they get on your nerve. It's the days when they come home drunk and drive up and leave a tire track in your yard. You ain't going to just reject them. Matter of fact, because, you know, this is what it's about. It really reveals to God your level of maturity. Understand, you are a very powerful person. Don't let that flesh body think that you're weak, because God sees something different. If it wasn't so, this life would not be what it is. If it was so simple, the challenges we go through would not be as tumultuous as they are. It's challenging. I mean, look at what we got here. We have. You're talking about loving your neighbor. Look at how many types of neighbors you can have. Now, that's where the power of prayer comes into effect. Now, all this comes, see, Adam didn't know all this. Obviously, he was the first one. There's a lot of things he had to learn. It's one reason why they lived so long. But they lived so long because Satan hadn't figured out how to get them to kill themselves. You know that's how we live short, right? We kill ourselves. It ain't God. It ain't the devil either. He just makes suggestions. You know, we all know. God delivered me from drugs, but do you know it takes a battle to not, you know how many, look at how society now is so doped up with sugar. I mean, drinking pop, I used to drink Pepsi, I mean, all day long, didn't even drink water, you know, to the point that it was damaging my kidneys. I would break out, and I would stop when my skin would clear, and then get right back at it. I mean, Pepsi is now, you know, I don't even think they have a nutrition label. If they do, it don't have much nutrition in there. Okay, as per se, we need water. Now I drink water. I can see, that's the thing about water. I can't drink it in excess. It's enough. See, we're dealing with, we're in a battleground with a being that we don't get to see. We know he exists. We can see the manifestation of him by the attitudes and people and by things that go on. And it behooves us to be aware of our environment and what goes on, every aspect of our life. I mean, like I say, he understands. He's had 5,000 years to study this stuff and to analyze and to watch the result. He just ran tests, you know. What if they eat that? Well, that'll happen. If they eat that, that'll happen. If they drink that, that'll happen. Who you think? Now, I know it was not God that told somebody to fire up a joint. roll that up, put it in some paper and smoke it. Or, but back then they probably just used pipes. You know that was the devil. But he had to, you know, he had to do this. Listen, listen. As dumb as he is, his IQ-wise, the smartest human is about 237 in the IQ, okay? Satan is about 2,500, okay? So you're not dealing with just a chump. He just can't handle. See, that's another reason why we have to learn to walk in love, always. And life, everything, all your challenges in life going to be about two things: loving God, loving your neighbor. And your neighbor is everybody outside of you, okay, everywhere, you know. Case in point, I had a situation. I was leaving the grocery store, and the guy didn't like the way that I didn't see him, you know. But anyway, I pulled out ahead of him. So when he got around me and we got out on the main road, we got out around on the road, he called me a name. Now, there was a time we would have been going back and forth. I might have even shot at him or something. Now, see, reason I don't have a lot of those situations, because the demons know I'm going to pray for them. And they know if I'm praying for them, then the angels are going to carry out the plan. The angels are going to minister to them. Because, see, the angels can't minister to them. God sent the angels to minister to them, to share the word when we pray. See? So, again, there's with loving your neighbor, you know, to help. Because I know, like I said, I got word, I know, and I even spoke to some people that I, like I said, knew to this. And it's just really just, see, God is, this Gen 5020 situation going on where what Satan meant for evil, God is using for good. I love the fact that people are getting saved. It's just astounding. And it behooves those of us that have been in the Word, you need to be prepared to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the hope that lie in you. Paul said, why should I be giving y'all milk when y'all, I should be giving y'all meat now? I got to go back to giving. You got to get up on the Word. You got to get up on the Word, because God will hold you accountable for it. Some of y'all been saved 30 years and still haven't read the whole New Testament. I thought about it. If I had the time, I'd start a sitcom called Judgment Day where it featured people arriving in the heaven and the excuses they give for why they didn't do what they were supposed to do. See? I want to go to 1 Corinthians because I like to say, chapter 13, so I want you to always know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about love, see, because you've been taught what the world know about love, and this, I really, it's amazing how I came upon, well, I was reading the Word, okay, I was just getting close to this particular area. I hadn't exactly got it close to it. I'm sure how good God is. We was in the third week of my marriage, been married now 40 years. And, you know, they say you married a representative, and after you get married, the real person show up. So I'm walking because we didn't had this real person that showed up, and I'm like, what do I do now? Because you hear all them them statements you made for sickness and the health, for better or for poor, you know, and for in sickness and in health, and for poor or richer, you know, and that's good until it happened. You know. But anyway, understand this, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Now, understand, this has been applicable throughout the history of mankind. Now, a lot of this, you can tell by the behavior of men in the past like Noah, okay, and Abraham, that God has shared this. We got it in writing, but he shared this with them because you see it in the attitude. Okay, and how they deal with people. Okay, when we get maybe later on, we talk about Abraham and how he interceded for people. Because listen to this, and I really like the King James Version, because it's not, I can see man in other versions, because the point of this is if you, this is how God saw me. And I know this by the fact that I'm saved. See, the fact that my mother and father got to together and birthed me entitled me to nothing. It, that acts regardless. Had they not called upon the Lord on my behalf and them and others, I could still wind up in hell. Being born doesn't entitle you to nothing. The fact that you did not choose to be born entitles you, doesn't exempt you from anything. I posed that to God. I point blank told him I didn't ask to come here. And that came up one of them situations where it seemed like everything was going wrong that could go wrong. See, and the fact that at that point, this is why you got to read the manual of life, and that is the Bible. And listen, what you need to know as you're reading, God will literally stop you and start talking to you. And you will find many Christians that are testify that they be reading the word and God just start preaching to them. See, that's one of the benefits of being a Christian. Having the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, he ministers. He only say what God say. So when he speak, God is speaking to you. And it's gonna take a while for me to pull all these pieces together. Think about it. This is kind of like some of y'all may, you know, well, they got some online now. You know, you put puzzles together. See, we used to do these 500-piece puzzles. The first thing with the puzzle you get, you got a picture on the box, and that's what you're trying to accomplish. So you got to start with the corners, and you start getting the pieces and fit them together. And that's what's going on here. Now, understand, you have the benefit. Adam just got dropped out the box, you know, looked up, excuse me, and he's here, okay? And he was quite intelligent. God said, the word says, God brought the animals to Adam to see what he would call them. And all the animals that you see and hear their name, Adam named them. So that intelligence, this is what I'm talking about, the intelligence of God is in Adam. I mean, you're going to see skill sets that men have. Noah building an ark. That was massive engineering skill, okay, the process that he went through. All that is in us. Let me read this right now. It says charity. Now, the word charity in the Greek is agape. It's a love. It is called the God kind of love. In other words, let's read it. It explains itself. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endureth all things. And charity, this is one. Charity never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I know some people act so crazy now, you think they have no knowledge, and that's what you call a retard. But that ain't the case. That part ain't happened yet, but it is coming. Because charity is God. Think about that. Let me help you with this, and let me give you some. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. I want you to get a clarity on what is going on, and go to verse 6. And I just want to read this one verse. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Now, he's talking about something that happened with the Jews. It was part of the covenant back during the time of Moses or Abraham. They circumcised the males. And people never think about the fact women were never circumcised, even though it's some spiritually impoverished people trying to circumcise women now. You know, it don't even matter. That ain't the issue. It's what it represented, a covenant between God and man. But that's what that's talking about. But now, and so basically what Jesus was saying, being a Jew, not being a Jew, didn't gain you nothing. He said, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. So you don't get nothing more from God. But faith, which worketh or works, the key, anytime you see TH in the King James Bible, that means it's a continuity. It continues with fortification. But faith which worketh by love. But faith which works by love. Faith which works. Faith works by love. So your faith works by your love. In other words, if you cut your love off, your faith don't work. See, these are the areas where people fail to get answers, and that's when they start doing shenanigans to try to get what they want. Because they don't want to do the principles, because they've never got to these principles. And it's sad that a lot of churches never teach these principles. They have been for a long time entertainment centers, religious institutions, and not centers of education in the things of God. So people not getting answers, getting caught up. I mean, we recently, you probably saw in the news in America, I know, UAW officials going to prison. Over what? Idolatry. You know what prevents idolatry? Everything. Love of God prevents idolatry. I don't want to offend God. I don't want to offend his person. I think of him as a person. I deal with him as a person. I don't remember all 2,000 commandments. I don't go around trying to wonder if I broke a commandment. I know how to deal with a person. I mean, I know it's things that you know, you let things go because that person, particularly God, and this is really important in a marriage. That's one of the designs of marriage. You let things go. In a marriage, and this is for the young men, because, you know, it's all that issue of that. First, if you go back and read, and I'm not going to go there because I'll be all over the place, Ephesians chapter 5. It says, wives, submit unto your husband. But then later on it says, submit you one to another. Okay? And there's a dual submission. But in the reality is, it's about submission to God. If you take time to read the entire Old Testament, you will see what happens when people submit to God and what happens when people don't submit to God. And it will not always be a pleasant thing when you submit to God. And don't discount that or think that it ain't worth it. Because again, you will also see those that submit to God are more so able to access the power of God. Because the power is directly related to responsibility. This is all the way through the Bible. The story is the same. You got different events, different situations, different people, different times, but it's still the same. It comes back to submission to God. People that obey God, submit to God. See, that way I don't have to worry about what my friends think about me. I don't worry about what nobody think about me. I only worry about what God think about me. See, and we're at a different time in history. If you go back, you got to keep reading that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 over and over until you get it in your spirit, till your reactions to every situation, even in a workplace, okay, your power of your prayer is hinged on that. Don't see what Satan, and some of you are going to experience it, because I see this happen. Like they say, I watch pastor preach a sermon on love, and then people be out in the parking lot arguing. And it's, Satan come to steal the word. That's what he does. I hate to say it's his job, because he didn't apply for it. Okay, he's kind of fell into it. He didn't ask God. This is another thing. When you don't ask God, you're usurping authority. You're taking authority. If you're not clear, just see, we should not have. There are 900. It just amazes me. I bought a book. It's called The Handbook of Denomination. I was astounded that there were 900 variations of just Christianity. You got Christians within Christianity within and you know what I find with denominations? You will find what they choose not to believe. It ain't about what they believe, it's what they choose not to believe. And then when their life is falling apart, they want to know what they make up doctrines about it. Well, that's just the way it is. Nobody knows the wondrous ways of God. You know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. No, that ain't the case. You didn't know what you should do because you didn't ask God what you should do. There's a reason. Proverbs 3:5-6. Write that down. Proverbs 3:5-6. I hear people quote it, but they don't do it. In all your ways, listen. All your ways, listen. In all your ways. That word doesn't have two definitions. That means everything you do. Listen, mundane things that are of no significance, okay? This weekend, over the weekend, I have a hot rod I'm building, you know. I'll never do it again, but anyway, I'm building one. And one particular area, I'm working on the trunk. And trunks, as you know, they have hinges. So mine had to be made a special way. Now, I couldn't figure out how to get it done. I even messed up some stuff trying to get it done. And then I stopped, and I asked God, and he showed me how to do it. I mean, that is not something I need to live. That is just something I want to do. But he took the time. Listen who we talking about. We're talking about the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth. See, heaven, but see, that's the power of a relationship. Now, understand what, this is why he can get me to go anywhere, do anything, say anything. And I've had to say things to people and I look crazy saying it. But I knew it was necessary. One is because, look, I don't, you know, I'm like you. I don't want to say nothing to nobody. But God, I know. I've had people actually tell me after I told them, how did you know that? Don't even know the person. How could you know that? You just said my life. But who knows that life? God knows that life. See, this is the whole point. Because you got to think further down the road. You think about it. I'm 69. But, you know, I don't know what life's going to be like 690 years from now. 6,900 years from now, 690,000 years from now, 6.9 billion years, 6.9 billion years, 6.9 trillion years. Are you getting the picture? This is what this is about. This is not about just having this little old trinkety stuff we get. Nah, this ain't nothing. You know, this is directly related to what started in the garden to get to the first level. We still at that Adamic level. I know we like to think we didn't got somewhere. Listen, on YouTube, there's a, I hope you get the right one. It's called Daniel Chapter 5. I forgot the narrator's name, but it's about Daniel Chapter 5. And anyway, he talks about the Medo-Persian Empire and the Medes. Okay, our math system is Arabic. You know, this new math that they come up with, I'm going to tell you what's behind that, racism. When they discovered that our math system, which has been around 3,000 years, came from, was descended from the Arabics, now it becomes an issue, and they wonder, I can't even think of the name of it, it's retarded. You got to do 15 steps to get 2 plus 2 equal 4. That's just retarded. See, this again, not operating in love. Everything going to come back to love. Believe me, everything come back to love. Living comes back to love. Giving comes back to love. Everything comes back to two things. Loving God, loving your neighbor. See, this is what this is about. And this tells God what you will do when you have power like Jesus have now. Okay? Listen at this. This is in Philippians chapter 3:20 and 21. It says, our lifestyle, conversation, is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, we're the footmen. But we will have a body that won't feel pain, that isn't restrained by gravity, that isn't restrained by these slow, what we see now, these buildings we see, are really just slow molecular objects. Even as fast as molecules move, these are moving slow compared to molecules that move so fast that the force field or the field of resistance in front of you is invisible. This is how they, you know, there are the military, I have no doubt, has already developed force fields because it's a variation of mathematics. That's all, it always comes down to that. Going back to the issue of what the guy was talking about in Daniel chapter 5, when he was narrating, he was talking about our quadratic math system. This is getting on down the line with math, because the math goes as far as you can go, as infinite. But bottom line is, the math skills that we use to send rockets to the moon, they had 3,000 years ago. Because all it does, well, let me tell you about math. Math takes patience. You got to be willing to go over and over and do it and work the numbers over and over and over to achieve the goal. That's pretty much it. And Socrates, I know, was one of the smartest men. That's why they called him smart, because they were engineers of their day. They comprehended things. These guys studied chemistry. It's typical nature, because when God made man, he put his own spirit in there. And that spirit has all the intellect of the omniscient God. The reason you don't use it, you can't comprehend it. I could give you a 747 and you might find the on switch. You would probably know where the start button is, maybe. But all the buttons you got to hit before you hit the start button will keep the plane from getting off the ground. Then there's dealing with the force of air and lift and drag. There's so many things you'd have to know. But it's all there. And you definitely know, you got to know, that Jesus knew all this. When Jesus left in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he did not call for any assistance. He just floated on up into heaven. Now think about that. He didn't have on a jetpack. He wasn't beamed up into a spaceship. He just overrode gravity's force and went on into heaven and then transitioned into a realm we can't see in. You got to look different at this. You can't look religiously at this. You got to look at, you know, a statement came through my mind earlier today that is so true and so sad. Do you know more good people go to hell than bad? Think about that. More good people go to hell than bad. You know why that is? There are more good people. There are way more good people. But because they're good and they don't submit to God, they don't receive from God. I really believe God makes every. If, I really believe God makes every effort to reach everybody as possible. And then in some cases where there's nobody, if you want to know, what about those people that live on islands where nobody has gone? Well, I remember a situation I came to the Philippines. It was up in the mountains. And these people were so primitive, they hadn't discovered fire. Can you imagine that? But they had a cross. So the explorer that went up there assumed that some missionaries had visited them. And the chief of the tribe, who believed in Jesus Christ, get this, and I'm talking about in the 80s. I'm not talking about 2,000 years ago. I'm talking about in the 80s. This recently happened, you might say. And the chief kept telling them, Jesus came to visit us and gave them the story. They had all the revelation. They had all the knowledge. The fact that they hadn't progressed meant nothing. Their life and how they conducted their life was biblically principled. You find that all the way through the Bible. Write this down so you can remember and then think about it. Everybody in the Bible did not have a Bible. Okay? Some people had some cuts of scripture. They were called phylacteries that they wore and kept and tried to memorize. But Bibles that you have and all the books you have and all the commentaries that are available, they had none of that. They had none of that. These books, Bibles, they've been around, but personal copies have only been around like a good 500-600 years out of thousands of years of man history. Everybody in the Bible did not have. Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament, so it wasn't possible for him to have it until he wrote it, and then when he wrote it, it hadn't been printed. It took a long time for that. Think about that. But they were held accountable for the standard of it. Now, God gave them some leeway in some areas where, you know, they obviously, God is more merciful. Our existence should be evident that God is more merciful than we are, because we would have killed some ourselves if we wouldn't have let us get as far as we did, okay? And so don't get hung up on people get hung up on stuff that is fruitless, dumb things you need to know. It's how to get a prayer answered, how to get things done, how to know you are in the will of God, pursuing the will of God. A lot of people are. A lot of people ain't, you know. But bottom line is you need to know the working components of this life. You have an advantage that the people that we're going to see from time to time did not have, okay? Noah didn't have a church to run to. They had begun to worship God in a group. But they didn't have all that we have. If it did not make a difference, Noah would not have to have built that boat in the first place, because God wouldn't have had to destroy the world. If they were to be exempt through ignorance, that there wouldn't be the Grand Canyon. If you want proof of the flood, the Grand Canyon, there's other proof. There's some caves in Georgia where water came up from and flooded the earth, but more so, the Grand Canyon has been documented that it is, if it had not been for the flood, it would take the Colorado River another 10 million years. Now, this was information that was developed by former atheists, because they came to a conclusion that there had to be a God. But the Bible, there's much evidence. There's other documentation of Gentiles that have recorded what events called the deluge. There's too much evidence. And Noah's Ark is still on Mount Ararat, where the Bible says it landed right at this very moment. Right at this very moment. There are websites that you can get and see pictures of it. People used Bevington 1979. It's amazing. When they, before they blocked it off, people were going up and getting pieces of it. So they, people got pieces. So then again, you take it to scientists. They document it and they verify that it was the actual wood from the age. Okay, so there's evidence. But I don't need physical evidence. Listen, you want some evidence? Worship God. Just take some time out and just thank him and praise him and keep doing that. Do it daily. And I guarantee you, God will show up one day. If you don't show up the first day, just keep do it anyhow. Because, listen, Ephesians 5:18, write that down. It said, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, listen, don't think religiously about that statement. Okay, it is not even an attack on drinking, but it's telling you that there's something better. But the point is, being filled, it says being filled with the Spirit of God. That's God's Spirit dominating your thinking. That's God's intelligence excelling yours, making you smarter, giving you more revelation. You want to get a promotion on your job? Learn how to worship God. Saturate yourself with the presence of God. You'll come to give you an impossible task. Saturate yourself with the presence of God. See, because that'll get you blessed. I'm telling you, that will get you blessed. See, there, even though we have different times of history, there is no time in history that God really didn't try to reach out to man. And if you take advantage of that, I guarantee you, I know from experience, that God will bless you. Same thing. See, that's what I do, because I do it on a regular basis, okay? I didn't start out doing that. I'm going to tell you right now, you got to make yourself, habits. We had a neuroscientist speak at our church, and one of the things she said, her website, well, you can get it on YouTube, is Dr. Caroline Leaf. Anyway, is that when you make a habit, to break a habit takes 21 days. To make a new one takes 42 days. So it takes 63 days. So you got to do this, but this is a habit you want to have. You want a prayer habit. You want a praise habit. Because it's something that you will have forever, okay? And it was something that when you hear people say, I don't know what to do, I guarantee you a prayer habit and a praise habit will always provide something for you to do. It will a way out of no way. God will always do it. I'm speaking from experience. See, I'm not, you know, what's going on with the world and the economy right now? And for those Christians that have been out of sorts and been been in disobedience. Get back in line with God. Stay in line. Don't let the devil tell you you've been doing so-and-so, you ain't been doing so-and-so. You know what? When you ask God to forgive you, just don't let cause and effect, okay, make you think that God is going to make you wait and suffer because of what you did. There's cause and effect. Now, whatever the effect of what you caused, I don't know. But he ain't behind that. The good aspect of your life, he will provide a solution. Believe me, I got into trouble years ago, about 15 years ago, with the Internal Revenue Service. I do not like them people. Anyway, I caused the problem. God saw the problem. Gave me a solution. Came out on top. See? But also, you know, because the system is what it is, I had to abide by the system, which I think he's dealing with right now, but that's another issue. Okay? See, all this, the Bible is one connected book, Old and New Testament. That's why in Genesis 1, you got the earth was void and without form, but in Revelation chapter 12, you got a 5,000 year gap in history of events being described. See, Michael throws Satan out of heaven in Revelation chapter 12. Jesus said he saw him hit the earth. I forget which chapter that's in. But the fact of the matter is, he hid it and made the earth void without form. See, God holds the key to the Bible. God, this is why he says, seek me, seek me. If you cross-reference seek me, you will find he wants you to come to him. See, I met somebody today that remember growing up with the same thing, hearing the same thing that I had heard. Don't question God. You know what stopped, what changed all that? By the time I finished reading, when I got to James chapter 1, verse 5, and it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Nobody, I didn't care what their prefix was, title-wise, could tell me I could not ask questions concerning the things of God, whatever it was. Okay, because this is the one thing about it. You're going to have some challenges, and our challenge is just like now. One of the main reasons I'm doing this Christianity 101 style teaching is because a lot of the millennials, they have a different level of ethics and challenges that we didn't have. We had challenges that was, I want to say primitive, but there's a difference. So, but they have to meet them because they need to know. But and sadly, I would go so far to say most of them got parents that all just so if they have two parents, they're oblivious. You know, it's just one of the saddest statistics there is that 98% of Christians haven't read the whole New Testament. So the point of the matter is, don't be that victim. Submit yourself unto God. Reading his word, that's submission to God. Talking to him, believe me, he will talk back to you. You know, believe me, he'll start talking when you'll wake up in the middle of the night and he'll start talking to you. That's why they say keep a notepad near your bed in case you have to write down some notes. He'll tell you some things, believe me. The thing that I want you to keep focused on, we started talking about prayer. I guess we'll get around to it. Oh, this thing is about you using the power of God and what will stop you from using the power of God. It's been the same throughout history. It's been the same throughout history. But we, of all generations, have more information, particularly in the last 30 years, 40 years. It's just something I don't know about the last half of the baby boomers. They asked a lot of questions, and they wanted a lot of answers, and the results are different. I mean, we didn't have what they call, and really, when you hear the term mega church, listen. In Korea and Africa, they have mega churches. We have big churches, they have mega churches. Listen, when your church holds 1 million people in one service, I'm talking about a Christian, Holy Ghost, tongue-talking, Bible-believing, reading church, 1 million in one service, that's a mega church. That's my definition of mega. And 700,000 and you holding three services a day, that's a mega church. Okay, we have large churches, and that's a good thing, because large groups, I'll tell you what, one of the things about prayer, the more people that pray about a situation, the more power is made available to get something done. That's what this is another aspect of this topic. People are complaining, but they're not praying. God does not answer complaints that offend him. He called it murmuring. People have gotten killed. You know, God folded his arms on murmurers. And the reason I say that, because that's the only thing I can come up with, that Satan get loose and act crazy and kill a bunch of people. I mean, he like killed in one case like 90,000 people. So he had to see God in a certain position that meant that he could go and do that. Because God cannot do evil. God does not do evil. He don't do evil. So if you know, and it's amazing, it took a while to get that revelation, because we read the Bible, and we read it in portions, and you got to get the whole picture together. You got to get the reality of it. See, and that's what the case is. See, so mom, if you don't get anything, you need to understand that you as a person is a powerful person. Now, before I go, because I got new people, there are books. You can get them online. They're not expensive. It's called Prayer That Making Power Available. Prayer That Availeth Much. Let me get that correct. There's a prayer that availeth much for women, prayer that availeth much for men, prayer that availeth much for children. The one thing about prayer is you got to bring in, it works better when you bring into the conversation between you and God what he has promised to do in that situation. Understand this about prayer. The word prayer is actually a legal term. It is when a person of a community wants to access power. You hear it a lot. If you was in a courtroom, you'd hear lawyers they make their request to the judge, and then they'll say, Your Honor, this is what we pray. See, we think of it as a religious term. But when you're addressing God, see, this is another thing. Listen, if you haven't accepted Christ as Savior, you can pray, but you're really still under the authority of Satan. Only people that have access to God through the covenant, which is now through Jesus Christ, can actually pray. God will try to answer, but it's a process he has to go through to get that done. See, and I'm going to remember that because when I come back, I want to pick up on that aspect because this coming election, we need to be praying about everything. We really need. And it doesn't stop there. It does not matter who gets elected. It doesn't matter. It really don't. If you do your part with God. See, if we did our part with God, listen, Daniel in chapter 4 had a man, Nebuchadnezzar, on his knees declaring that the Lord is God. You got to understand that's wielding some serious power to make a man bend. But it is a relationship you have to have with God to get that done. Bottom line is, if as many people, Christians, if as many Christians pray as they did complaints, we'd see something different in our government. That's just a reality. And so I'm going to come to a conclusion on this. I was debating on whether to take it deeper, but I know that people have trouble remembering. I hope you took notes. I keep notes. I got notes that because particularly you want to understand the power. You want to understand love. Because this, so when I mention love, I don't want you to be thinking that I'm talking about romance. I want you to understand you're talking about the power of God being released. That's basically what it is. You're utilizing the power of God to accomplish the will of God, whether for your benefit or the benefit of another person. And if you go back and you read 1 Corinthians 13, you'll find the qualifiers in there. One, if you'll notice in 1 Corinthians 13, the persons don't qualify for nothing. They don't deserve it. It doesn't say they deserve it. It doesn't say they get love if they did the right thing, said the right thing. Matter of fact, is when they are wrong is when they need the most prayer. See, those that are against you need the most prayer. Because anybody, this is another thing, remember this, anybody that is against you is against, if you're in Christ, anybody that is against you is against Christ. So with that, I am going to offer you an opportunity to become a member of the body of Christ. And all you have to do, you don't have to do a whole bunch of rituals. All you have to do is say this prayer and believe it. Even if you don't understand it, you will. You will. And pray this. It says, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I confess my sin to you, and I ask you to forgive my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and save my soul. Because I believe that you died on the cross for me. And I believe that you was resurrected, and I believe you rose on the third day, and I trust you at your word, and I thank you for it, and I believe I receive your salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. And so with that, I say I bid you farewell and adieu till next week, and stay in the training mode, because God is doing some great things. Amen.
Your boy.
I got a plug on the love if you need something. I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxing or action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you're trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming. Just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love.
That love, I got a heavenly plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
Now I've been getting up from God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrapped his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. And have the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love.
That love, I got a heavenly plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.